Fantastic. Isn't it great just to have a place where you can come and sit and be still and not be consumed with, a social media feed or something? Just rest. Just, you know, look to the beauty of the stained glass. And look to the Lamb of God and sit still and sing songs about amazing grace. I think it's needful. We need to find a place to rest. And, the Bible gives us that type of instruction. It says, labor that you enter into rest. So our work really is to find our peace point. That's where you find your stability. That's where your heart has comfort. And that's where really your faith works. It's hard to have a nervous faith. You know what I mean by that? It's hard to always be anxious and overwhelmed about our problems because our problems seem to be what's staring us down. But thank God that we're a people of faith. We believe in Jesus. We believe in a Jesus who took our sin. We believe in a Jesus who was raised from the dead. We believe in a Jesus who gives us his life. You know, that means we believe in miracles. And that's why I've liked the series that Pastor Josh has been doing on miracles, signs, and wonders. And I've enjoyed the testimonies of different people from the community telling us their story about what Jesus has done just because they sat still and trusted him. And he invaded in their midst. And so all the teachings have been great. And I'm sure if you've missed some of it, you can get it. It's on the website or on the Facebook page. And you can listen again to the stories of God's unending love and his amazing grace. But I want to speak to you a little bit today. Josh actually invited me to speak last Sunday. And I then was interrupted with an emergency of a pastor friend. So I had to go to the Bay Area to preach. And so Josh wanted me to cover this Sunday. And I want to just tie in a little bit with what Josh has been teaching. And I think your heart's going to be refreshed and blessed abundantly. But what do we do, friends? What do we do when, you know, we're trusting for miracles, we're trusting for breakthroughs, we're trusting for answers, and we still don't get any? All we get is what we seemingly see, which is discouraging and devastating and overwhelming and sometimes scary. What do you do? And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what to do when these massive mountains, these obstacles continue to appear and rob us of our peace and joy and provision. And there's some good advice for all of us throughout the scriptures, but I want to start with some advice that is given in the book of Zechariah. This is a passage that many of you may know. Some of you, you find it new, but in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, here's what the scripture says. So he answered to me and said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Now think about this. What we're going to talk about is a word that's from the Lord. You know, that can really be your most prized possession, is a word from the Lord. And Jesus, of course, is the final word. Jesus is the concluding word. But here is a statement that is so helpful. Here's the word of the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. In other words, what we need to help us in life has nothing to do with our physical might. It has nothing to do with beating the daylights out of somebody. It has nothing to do with might of kingdom or nation. It has something to do with the kingdom of God and God's rule and God's reign. It's got to be, our victory has to be by the Spirit of the Lord. And then notice that's a phrase that many of us know and we've read and learned and heard and we like. But look at the next verse. This is a verse we don't hear very often. Look at verse 7. "Who are you, O great mountain?" So if we understand that what we're going to receive for our breakthrough, for our victory, is from the Lord, so then it says you look to the obstacle, you look to what is there, you look to the mountain, and you say, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." Now think about this. This is still the word of the Lord. Your obstacle, your mountain, is to become a plain. And then it says, "And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts, grace, grace to it." About 10 days ago, I was coming here to the Life Center to work. It was, you know, just a regular work day. And it was a little after 8 o'clock, and driving here on Brand Avenue into town, a phrase leaped in my spirit because my mind was surrounded with obstacles and with trouble. And this phrase kind of leaped in my spirit, and it was simply this: it takes faith to speak grace to anything. It takes faith to speak grace to anything. And I was thinking about miracles, signs, and wonders, because most of us are trapped in this natural realm. We're trapped in our bodies. We're trapped in our problems. We're trapped with our addictions. We're trapped in our sin, whatever it is. And sometimes we just yield and are live overwhelmed to everything that's going wrong in our lives. But it takes faith to speak grace to anything, or to anyone, or over anything, or over anyone. It takes faith to speak grace to mountains. Think about the instruction, the word of the Lord that was to Zerubbabel, that to your mountains you say something. In your trial, in your struggles, when the miracle has not happened, when the sign and wonder has not appeared, you still speak grace, grace to your trials and to your troubles. This sure sounds strange, doesn't it? It sounds like a little bit odd, a little bit weird, a little bit crazy, shouting grace, grace to the problem. Usually in my life, maybe not in your life, when I have trouble, you know, I haven't been speaking much grace to things. I speak sometimes things that are, you know, condemning, condescending, cruel, mean, ugly. I know none of you are like that. That's why you all are so wonderful. But sometimes in our frustration in life, it's hard to speak grace over your boss when you think your boss is an idiot. You know, it's easier to call somebody an idiot than it is to quiet your heart and speak grace over them. It's hard to speak grace over your spouse when your spouse is on your nerves and you don't even know if you like your spouse. It's hard to speak grace over your problems, over your trouble, over your sin, over your failure, over your shortcoming. It's easier to just nitpick yourself to pieces and say, you're such an idiot. But it takes faith to speak grace over anything. And I find this is the way we get to a place where our heart can be receptive for a miracle, for a sign, and for a wonder. Actually, when you speak grace to your mountain, this is really the recognition of your faith in God. Think about that. When you speak grace to your trial, to your trouble, it's a recognition that you're trusting Jesus and you're not trusting yourself. It's a beautiful thing. It's a recognition that you're trusting that He is your Savior, that He is going to make a way. So you may be thinking, well, how does this work, Keith? I mean, do I just kind of, you know, close myself up in my car and shout grace to the trouble and grace to the mountain? Well, that may be a good start. But let me show you from Scripture some things that really might help you. Usually we want to be the tough guy in our trials and troubles, and we want to, you know, do something mean. You know, I've had people tell me, I'd like to grab you and just, you know, and I think, now, wait a minute, let's handle the problem a little different way, you know what I mean? But sometimes in a moment of rage and trouble and frustration, we understand those breaking points people have. We all have. Our humanity has. But it's very, very important that we understand the love of the Father and what Jesus wants to do on our behalf. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. This is when Paul wrote the church in Galatia. And he says, I only want to learn from you, did you receive the Spirit? Now, when it uses this phrase, did you receive the Spirit? This is when you gave your life to the Lord, when you were saved. Did you receive the Spirit of Christ? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That means your effort, your being good, your being moral, your obedience to the law. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you experience your miracle of receiving the Spirit by your effort, your works through the law, or by the hearing of faith? And of course, the answer is simply by the hearing of faith. You heard about the Lamb of God and you said, cool, I went in, and you believed. And Jesus justified you who was unrighteous. He called you righteous, and you did it by faith. Your miracle to be a believer, to be a Christian, happened by you experienced that grace by faith. So you were saved by faith. You accepted the Father's acceptance. Here's what the Bible says of this in Ephesians 2, verse 8. And that's why when we sang it this morning, I thought, well, that's kind of cool. We sang Amazing Grace and the beauty of what his work has done on our behalf. But look at it says here in Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace, that's Jesus's work and Jesus's favor extended your way. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Now, this word saved, many times that you see in Scripture, just doesn't mean saved in terms of going to heaven. It's kind of an all-encompassing word. It's the word sozo or the word soteria, usually translated in these words. And it means not just salvation, but it means healing. It means preservation. It means deliverance. It means a sound mind. So your sound mind, your preservation, your deliverance, you experience, you find that grace for that victory, that deliverance, and you accept it by faith. For by grace you were saved, but it's through faith. Faith agreed with what grace did. And it's very, very powerful. Look at it. Paul said later then in Galatians 3, verse 5. This is really three verses later from his first question. Here's his next question. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Now, we're talking about miracles and signs and wonders. It says, does he do it by the works of the law? In other words, is it your effort, your obedience to the law, or is it by the hearing of faith? Notice, it takes faith to really experience and receive the miracles that God wants to do in your life. It's an expression of God's full finished work in Christ on Calvary's cross. And by faith, we receive it. Notice, miracles are supplied simply by hearing of Jesus and just agreeing, just believing, just accepting. And this is called faith. Faith is when you hear of Jesus' work and you believe it. You accept it. It's present. Your faith is something Jesus gives you. It's a gift of faith. And you live now by the faith of Jesus. That's why you're focused on Jesus instead of the mountains. And when you're speaking grace over mountains by faith, your mind is on the Lord in his capacity, not your capacity to fix your problem. So it's the beauty of believing and believing what Jesus has done. Look at the Bible says real quick in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans 4, verse 25. This is what miracle believing people believe. Here's a description of what you need to believe just to function really strong in the grace of God and to experience really miracle signs and really wonders. Look at it says in Romans 4, verse 25. It says, who, speaking of Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses. Now, you learn that a lot through Pastor Will's teaching through the years, through Pastor Josh here this past year. Jesus was delivered up for our offenses. You learn about that every week when Josh leads us in communion. Every time you come in and you can sit still and just look at the beauty of the finished work of Jesus and the presentation of himself and his blood and his body. Jesus was delivered up for your offenses or for your sin. And then it goes on to say that he was raised up because of our justification. Now think of that. Because you're justified, Jesus was raised from the dead. This is what we believe. We believe Jesus was given up for our sin and he was raised up, so I'm justified. Now that's like, wow, really? In other words, I'm righteous with God, and it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Jesus. Then notice the next verse. The next verse is the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, because Jesus was raised up for your sin, and Jesus was, you know, resurrected for your justification, therefore, because of this, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I want to focus on this phrase, we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What do you stand on? Do you stand in faith or do you stand in grace? See, according to this phrase in this scripture, in this portion, it's talking about standing really in the grace of God, and you get there by faith. So when I'm surrounded with obstacles, and I am, when I'm surrounded with trouble, and I am, instead of being overwhelmed all the time and fighting these issues in my life with the arm of the flesh, it's best if I can just settle in the presence of Jesus and behold the beauty of what Jesus has done, and then make a decision to stand in the grace of God by faith every day. And that's why, for me, it takes faith to speak grace over anything. But this is the beautiful thing. We have access by faith into the grace of God wherein we stand. Your simple acceptance, your simple trust, your simple faith in Jesus gives you access into everything the Father has for you. It gives you access to everything that Jesus has provided for you. And that's where your miracle happens. That's where the sign happens. That's where the wonder happens. It's like when Joshua was teaching really on some of the gifts of the Spirit and word of wisdom, word of knowledge, some of these different things in Scripture that, you know, there's things in my life right now. I need the wisdom of God. I don't have the right solutions right now. But you know what I'm doing over these situations? I'm speaking grace to the mountain. Because I'm believing God's going to unveil to me in simplicity, so I can get it, what to do, how to respond, how to work with people, how to love, how to fix, how to help restore and bring redemption to things. So the areas in my life, which there are more than one, there are many, I'm speaking grace. It takes faith for Keith Hershey to speak grace over anything. It's easy for Keith Hershey just to get ticked off and lose my joy and be a nervous wreck or be frustrated, but it takes faith to speak grace over anything. And I just want to encourage you today, in whatever in your life doesn't seem to be working, just stay in faith and speak grace over anything. This morning we were praying for the church, a little group of us, and I heard a testimony about, you know, the beauty of victory in a person's life that, you know, was a process of years, actually a couple decades. But now the victory, the miracle is manifested just recently, and it's just beautiful that you don't give up trusting Jesus. Heard another testimony that you'll probably hear very soon here in church about a victory recently, just here in the last week or so, of people from the fellowship in a hospital, and God did a mighty miracle raising them up, but also the surgeon got saved through the process of their pain. You know, it's a beautiful thing about what God is working, miracles in the lives of people, even through the hardship and some of the mountains that we experience. So our access to grace, the favor of God, the ability of God, the sufficiency of Jesus is always by faith. We have access by faith into the grace of God, and that's my standing. My standing is Jesus. My standing is Christ alone for everything. And I'm going to see every situation not in the human weaknesses of the people or the challenges, but I'm going to see every situation through the lens of Christ. This is why I like even when Pastor Josh prays, again today, you know, when he prays and starts the service and he prays for the nation and he prays for leaders and he prays for whoever, whether they're from the left, from the center, from the right, or whether they're all out of their mind. It doesn't matter. You pray the grace of God. We speak grace over the challenges. We speak grace over the troubles. We speak grace over the problems. And this is where the mountain, the Bible says, become a plain. And that's what I'm looking forward to. The mountains of your life becoming plains where you can move forward into the beauty of what Jesus has called you to. So our access to grace is always by faith, and it's simply believing, simply trusting that His work is working on our behalf. So as believers, we are invited to speak grace or to shout grace to the mountains. So you shout grace to the problems. You don't shout at your spouse. You go hide yourself in a car and you shout grace over your spouse. You don't shout to your neighbor and cuss him out and threaten him. You find a quiet place and you shout grace over people that trouble you. You know, if it takes faith to shout grace, because most of us like to fix everything in and of ourselves. And can I hear a good amen on that? It's really true. We all trying to fix everything in and of ourselves. But you soon learn there's certain mountains you just can't fix on your own. It takes the grace of God. And sometimes God fixes things in ways that you never dreamed. Sometimes the work is not necessarily in the other person. The work that God does is in you. The work is in you. And that's wonderful. So it takes faith to speak grace over anything. It takes faith to speak grace over anyone. That includes you. You know what you ought to do? Sometimes you ought to just look in the mirror and say, man, you're eternally young. You know, or whatever you do. You look in the mirror and you know how frail in your humanity and you speak grace over yourself. You don't let the frailty, the problem, the pain to be your truth. You let the finished work of Jesus be your truth, and you say, I speak grace over you. I speak grace over you, Keith Hershey. I speak grace over you. The finished work of the Lamb of God. So Jesus gives us an invitation. It's really like an instruction as well. He gives us an invitation or an instruction about what you do with your mouths. Let's look at this very famous passage. This is in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, this is the disciples, you know, you look at the whole story. He had cursed, you know, a tree and it withered and died, you know, and everybody was stunned and astonished and shocked. So Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Now that's the New King James Version. Some translations say this way, have the faith of God. I like that translation. I like the translation where the faith just isn't our effort to believe him, but it's in our effort just to live according to his sufficiency. Have the faith of God. Some translations say it that way. Have the faith of God. Or some say it this way. Have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith always looks at the solution of the Lamb versus the reality of the mountain. And so the God kind of faith, or the faith of God, gives you the capacity to see your problem not based on your sufficiency, but from the sufficiency of the one who fixes everything, because he is the one who created everything. So it says this, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain. Now here it goes again. It ties into what we read in Zechariah. You speak to the mountain. I said it's odd. It's strange. It might make you feel uncomfortable, but this is where you release the authority of the life of Jesus over things that trouble your soul in the natural realm. It says, you speak to the mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea. And it says, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Wow, that's an amazing declaration. That's an amazing invitation. That's an amazing proclamation or promise. It says you speak to the mountain, and if you can just believe in it, how do you believe it? Just stay at your focus to the finished work of the Lamb of God. Just put yourself in a peace place where you can announce it again and again. This is the beauty to me of coming to church and having a church family and having an environment where we can corporately worship and hear the word and some solid teaching about the Lamb of God and be still enough and speak to something. And say, be moved. Be moved from my life. Be moved. Be moved from my world. Be moved in Jesus' name. And it says, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whoever or what things you ask when you pray, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, if you believe, you receive them, you will have them. All of us are well acquainted with pain. All of us are well acquainted with sin and challenges and insurmountable problems. All of us are acquainted with monstrous mountains that need to be moved. But here's the good news. We are invited to have the faith of God. We are invited to rest in the grace of God, and we are invited to simply speak the finished work to our mountains. That's what grace is. Grace is the declaration of the finished work over everything in your life that's seemingly wrong. We're invited to simply speak the finished work over our mountains, to speak about the grace of God to our problems, and we can experience miracles, and we can experience signs, and we can experience wonders. It's a beautiful thing. So it just takes faith to speak grace over anything. It's easier to call things as they are in the natural instead of calling things as they are not, according to Christ. You know, we like to call things in the natural. So we get angry at our mountains and we curse them. We cuss them out. We call people names. We're critical. We're condemning. We're condescending. But we don't speak grace. You know why we don't speak grace? Because it takes faith to speak grace. It takes faith to speak grace over somebody that really gets on your nerves. It takes faith to speak grace over somebody who's so broken and you don't even know how they will ever be free from their anger, addiction, or whatever. It takes faith to speak grace over anything. But that's why it's required of us to be still and not look to ourselves and look to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we look at the natural things, we call people names. We call ourselves names. We call ourselves idiots and fools. And we tell people, go to hell. Yeah, we're real quick at that. You know, I think sometimes believers, you know, they it's like they have a go to hell ministry. They get mad at people and they just tell everybody to go to hell, or you're going to hell. Hold on a minute. How about we as believers not be so excited about going to hell, and how about we decree the grace of God over people in their brokenness? Why don't we tell people in the brokenness the beauty of what Jesus has done? Amen. And just call it good. Whether they can believe it and understand it or reject it, it's not the issue. The issue is speak grace to the mountain. The miracle will happen for them. It may not happen for a month or a year or a week or 10 hours or 2 decades. But Jesus has a way to work. Speak grace over things. Speak grace over the brokenness of people. It's a beautiful thing. So call things that be not as though they are. That's a spiritual truth, by the way. It's found in Romans 4:17. Speaking, God speaks of Abraham. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. Calls things that be not as though they are. It does not say you calls things that are as though they are not. It says you call things which do not exist as though they do. So we don't live in denial of anything. We recognize, we admit, we acknowledge our brokenness, but now over that we speak grace. We speak grace to the mountain. And in the process of speaking grace in our brokenness, we still come and sit. We come and hear the word. We get our minds still again and we speak grace. We take communion again and say, grace, 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 grace to my world, grace to my trial, grace to my mess, grace to me. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus will meet you there. It's what he does well. Look at this story. You'll like it. And then I'm going to finish and Josh is going to come lead us in communion. But I like this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Many years ago when I was young, about 30 years ago or so, I preached a message, let the walls fall, about the trouble and trials and complications in life, and said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, this is the story when Joshua surrounded the city of Jericho. Remember, they were going into the promised land and in conquering. Look at it says, let's just read a little bit of the story in Joshua chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of you men of war. You shall go around the city once. You'll do this for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark. In other words, the ark, the the significant sign of the presence of God is going to lead the parade. In other words, the people that are marching are looking to the ark, following the ark. So sometimes for your mountains to move or your walls to fall, there's instructions you have to follow. You have to speak things, but you don't speak things in your own authority. You don't speak things in your own anger. You speak things according to grace, the finished work of Jesus. And this, that's where all power is. It's not by your might. It's not by your. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. And so it says, the seventh day you shall go up and march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout. Not just with a hooray. It says, and a great shout. See, when have you ever been so stirred in your heart because of the chaos and the trouble and the demonic activity of whatever is coming against you? When have you ever just said, got so stirred that you could quiet yourself, go hide yourself in a car so people don't think you're a nut, or come to church and use the sanctuary and shout, grace, grace to the mountain. Grace, grace to my trouble. Grace, grace to the problem. With a great shout. See, sometimes I think we have to come to a place where we're just trusting completely, where we're exhausted with ourselves, and where we say, he's enough. All the people shall shout, it says, with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So our instruction in life is really to follow the ark of the covenant. That's the Old Testament pattern of the new covenant reality. Jesus is now the propitiation for our sin. He fulfilled everything. And the Bible says he is covered not just us, but everyone, everywhere. Not our sin only, but the sin of the whole world. So you just look to Jesus, you follow Jesus. While you're looking to Jesus, you're surrounding the trouble. Don't let the trouble surround you. You just surround it. You say, no, we got you cornered, trouble. I know you've been existing for the last 27 years, but we got you cornered. And you're going down in Jesus' name because we're looking to the Lamb of God, and I'm going to speak grace, grace to the mountain. And I'm going to simply believe it in my heart, and I'm not going to believe it with my capacity to believe. I'm going to believe it because Jesus gave me faith to believe it and faith to say it. So follow the ark. It's a picture of the finished work of Jesus. Have your focus on him to fix you. You don't have to have your focus on yourself. Don't have your eyes on your trouble or your problems or your walls or your mountains or your sin or your addictions. It's okay. Just come in the beauty of your brokenness because Jesus accepts you as you are, but he doesn't want the world's way to trouble you and bring destruction and fear and calamity. In any way, he wants you to walk in his life. So remember, with any point of pain in your life, with any overwhelming circumstances, with any insurmountable mountain, grace is always available, and grace is always enough. And you don't even need preaching to understand it. Preaching's good because faith comes when you hear the word preached, the word of Christ. But just come and sit still and look at the beauty of the artistic expressions. Listen to the lyrics of the songs. Look at the stained glass. Look at to the simplicity of a cross. And then announce grace to yourself. It's a beautiful thing. Paul learned this, Paul the Apostle. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7 through verse 10. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. Now think of the revelation. He had the revelation of the new covenant like nobody else. That's why he was used to write letters that were canonized for scripture. But he said, because of the revelation of the grace of God, I had trouble. A thorn in the flesh. Some of our trouble, I think, is a direct attack because we're coming to an environment that's pure grace of God. Hell hates it. Hell hates it. But the beautiful thing is, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Some people say that was people problems. Some people said he had a physical infirmity, like an eye problem or a health problem. But it was he calls it whatever it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. lest I should be exalted above measure. So concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Have any of you ever had trouble that you've prayed at least 3 times or any sin issue or problem? Or boy, I have. I pleaded 1,000,000 times over certain things, it seems like. He said he pleaded 3 times that it might depart from him. And Jesus, the Father, said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He says, therefore, I'll gladly rather boast in my weakness, my frailty, my infirmity, that the power of Christ might rest on me. He said, therefore, I take pleasures in the infirmity. I take pleasure in the mountain, in the problem, in the reproaches, in the needs, in the persecutions and distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, I know he's strong. So, friend, I just want to encourage you, let your heart be prompted today to say something, to pray something, to shout something, not in anger, not in retaliation, not in revenge, but speak over your loved ones, speak over your problems, speak over your sicknesses, speak over your lack, speak over your depression. Grace, grace to you. That's what I say to myself. That's what I've said to myself the last 24 hours. I speak grace to you. I speak grace over the situation. I declare the finished work of Jesus as the final authority over all these things. Miracles happen in my life. The needs are met in these situations. The revelation, the mindset I need from God flows into me to make every decision I need to meet to share the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. This is the good news, friend. You and I have access to the full finished work of Jesus Christ, and we can speak grace over each other. Pastor Josh is going to come and lead us in communion, but let me pray for you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting every need. Father, while our heads are bowed, if there's people in this place who've never just trusted you and accepted your so great salvation, friend, I just invite you, say, Jesus, I believe. I receive your love now. You died for me. You were raised for me. I believe. I receive your life. Friend, if you do that right now, you're born again. You're filled with the life of God. A miracle has just happened in you. You're a partaker of divine nature. It's a most beautiful thing. And Father, some of us, we've believed for many, many years, but Lord, we have trouble in our lives. We speak grace over each issue of our life, that your full plan, your full manifestation would come forth mightily in each of our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.